You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from Monday, May 5th, episode 3684, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse world. Happy Derby Hangover Day and happy Cinco de Mayo.
They're all in line. We're ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Journalism is in a little bit of traffic early on here, but he came out of the gate okay. Citizen
bit.
Bull and Neo Equos, as expected, to the front, but they've come well off the rail. And these two are setting the pace with Owen Almighty to the outside. East Avenue is away running in fourth. American Promise is fifth and down on the inside. Then Admire Daytona. Burnham Square is closer today. He's down on the rail, only about five lengths off the lead. Then Chunk of Gold. Journalism is saving ground into that turn. He's in the middle of the pack as Cold Battle goes up on the far outside with Render Judgment and Flying Mohawk. Then comes Publisher Baeza to the outside. Down toward the rail, Japan's Luxor Cafe leads Sovereignty. Tis Tastic and Sandman are next. And Final Gambit is the trailer as they race past this half mile in 46.23 seconds. So the pace is honest enough, set by the Baffert runners, Citizen Bull, and Neo Equos is pressing it on the outside. American Promise together with Owen Almighty, third and fourth. Break of another 2.5 to East Avenue in fifth. Burnham Square is sixth on the inside. Brian Hernandez has him down on the rail like he did with Mystic Dan last year. They're about six lengths off the lead as they race for the far turn. Citizen Bull on the inside. Neo Equos on the outside. These two right together on the lead. American Promise comes under pressure. Owen Almighty is fourth by 2.5. Chunk of Gold is fifth. Trying to get involved now with five lengths to make up. Meanwhile, we look back for Journalism. He's been swung to the outside by Umberto Rispoli, and he's picking off horses one by one on the far outside. Neo Equos is the leader at the top of the stretch. Journalism is on the move as they turn for home, and Sovereignty is coming with him on the outside. The two of them go right by with a furlong to run. Journalism and Sovereignty, nose to nose, down to the last 16th of a mile. Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the inside. Baeza is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby.
God, he's so good.
I don't know how he, on the backstretch, those horses were so covered in mud. I don't know how he told them apart because.
I don't either. It's amazing.
Because even the saddle pads were like covered in mud. Everything was covered in mud.
I was watching and I'm like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, I didn't know who was who either. I don't know how he does that, but he is the best at his job. Wow. You and I, we didn't do so good this year.
You know what? I don't think a lot of people did good because I was with a whole bunch of horse players and nobody got that one right.
The track one this year? Track.
I think the track might have done some good work this weekend. Yeah, it was like Chad was on a trip and he said, how'd it go? And I was like, I had a really good time. Mm-hmm, let's not talk about it.
Your app, a little less money right now.
Oh, dude, I was at the track. I didn't even have to give my money to Twin Spires. I gave it directly to Remington.
How'd Anna do? Did she learn what losing is like finally?
She finally did. That's what's so hard about the Kentucky Derby is it's just... I mean, it's 20 horses. It's too many horses. It's such a mess.
Yeah, but that's what makes it the greatest race in the world, right? If it was easy, it would be the greatest.
It's so hard to make selections and pick and all that because
that's what makes it great.
You know, all day the favorites.
It is a little crowded there. Then the start there, they were playing bumper cars at the start.
In the beginning, the first horse comes just Bob Baffert's horse just runs out and just completely just nails like six horses. It was ridiculous, but yeah, I mean we didn't do so good in our picks. But so the people were asking who Anna had chosen, and she chose Baeza, and he finished in third. And then let's see, Lucas selected. I thought he was going to go with Flying Mohawk, but he didn't. I think he went with Cold Battle.
There was a cool story behind Flying Mohawk too. That was kind of a cool story too.
Yeah.
But let's review ours. Luxor Cafe, American Promise, and Render Judgment were yours. And with American Promise toward the lead there, you must have been very excited. And then all of yours finished in the bottom 10, I just want to point out.
Yeah, they certainly did, along with seven others that finished in the bottom 10. Glenn, thank you for doing the math.
Yeah, I at least had others. Journalism. I had one. I had journalism, Sandman, and Coal Battle, and journalism was second. So, but that's, we didn't do as well as we usually do. It paid well, though. $17 to win paid pretty
good. You know what happens if it pays well? That means you guessed right.
That's right. That's true. And of course, these were owned by Godolphin. And we have a Godolphin person coming on the show, one of our auditors, which we didn't know about. Again, we have auditors with the coolest jobs, works at Godolphin. So she is going to come on the show a little bit later on and talk to us because she was there. She was actually in the winner's circle. So we're gonna talk. I had no idea until she posted in the auditor room and I asked her to come on and she was kind enough to do that. So she's going to come on and talk to us about that and what that was like. And then we have a guest later in the show, another listener, actually, who's an author. Her name is Kathy Simmers, and she's going to join us to talk about her kids' book series that she does called Ponytails. And then we have some question first world problems at the end of the show. So we have a lot to talk about. You were at the track, so I want to hear about that, how
yes,
that went.
Yes, of course you do.
Yeah, I got to hear about that. So let's... Were they running their own races that night, or was this just for the Kentucky Derby, by the way? Well, I'll ask you later. All right, here. Let's do some daily whinnies. We have two auditor birthdays today. Colleen Lapp, by the way, I miss her. We used to see her all the time when we went to Philadelphia for trade shows. And the leader of the virtual Tevis team, which Jennifer has been, I think she's up to 15 or 20 miles now. And that's Richard Alvey. Saw him in Ohio when I was there. So I know the virtual Tevis team is racking up the miles. Good job. Also, I have a couple more daily whinnies. Thank you to Claire Runnelson. She did some beautiful artwork. I don't know if you saw it on my personal page, but she sent us for her birthdays artwork that she did of Nigel and Scooter, and she nailed their personalities. She just nailed it. So thank you, Claire, for that. That was unexpected and lovely, and we're going to get little frames and hang those up. I think, hadn't she done some for you, too?
Yes, and I got one of Homer, so thank you very much.
That's cool. She's a great artist. She really is. And then all of the members of the Auditor's smallest subchapter, the California Drivers, were at Ram Tap in Fresno over the weekend for a combined driving event there. And the one thing about this group, there's three or four of them out there, they always show up and bring their HRN mugs and get a picture. And they post it every year. You guys are so dedicated. We love you guys out there in California. And you're just so dedicated to being part of the community here. And we really do appreciate that. So thanks for... And by the way, Q ponies too. That's the other thing.
This week has its highs and has its lows, Glenn. And... I mean, the high was, I would like to thank Matt and Leisha Gibson from Family Stern Racing for hosting Anna and I in their suite at Remington Park. It was really, really fun. There was live racing going on, but we did not watch it because it's the quarter horse racing and it's
over like that.
It's over like that. And it's sometimes fairly tough to watch. So I don't really watch that. We just kind of stayed in and watched TV and I bet on horses in the this
where
year
they did quarter horse racing. Now I know one of the tracks.
You know, one of them. Yeah. And they'll do even paint horse and Arabian horse. They'll, if it has legs, they'll race it basically. So they had that. It was really, really fun. A good weekend.
What did Anna think of it? The whole experience.
Are you kidding me? She loves it. She doesn't like the, we don't like watching the quarter horse stuff. Like it's not like our favorite
thing.
No,
but I meant being at the track for the Derby and all of that.
Oh my God. She thinks this is normal, which is garbage. I'm like, I have never been to a suite in a racetrack ever. I just happened to teach lessons to the one of the people that owns it. I just got lucky that way. It's kind of like our listener. You just, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, you know? It's true.
So we got, that's how we got to do that. But then the sad realization is hitting me now that it's Monday. Saturday, Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's not sad. Like, it's supposed to be like a celebration, but it is. I'm going to wear black all week because Farm Boy is graduating college. He's got his master's, and he'll be done on Saturday. He's going to be here for a couple days. Oh God, a couple days. And then he's heading off to the butthole of Texas to go be Landman. And I don't like it. I told him, have you seen Landman?
Has he?
Have you?
Oh, I've watched like the first three episodes. It's kind of brutal.
And so I was like, listen, Barrett, you have to watch the show. And he was like, why? And I'm like, so you can learn ways not to die. Like, there's so many ways to die in oil
fields. It's kind of the Yellowstone of Texas, that show.
Same guy. Yeah. Same guy did it. Yeah. So yeah, it is the Yellowstone of Texas. And I was like, I swear to God, Barrett, like, you need to learn how to not stand on top of a bunch of pipes. Don't stand on the pipes.
Don't get in any fights because you're going to lose.
Yeah, please. You know, of all people, he's probably the one we have to worry about the least, but it's still very scary and he's amazing. And so I'll get to spend time with his mama and his sister and his brother this weekend again, which would be nice.
He's got his master's, right? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. I told him he needs his PhD, but he didn't listen.
Mm. Well, look, he's going to get a job paying six figures to start. So, I mean, he doesn't really need his PhD.
Yes, he does, Glenn. He needs it to get those 6.5 figures or
How's
something.
How's the girlfriend
I don't know.
Feel about Texas?
She has a job in Oklahoma City, so she's gonna stay in Oklahoma City. So the good news is he has to come back to visit. Okay. I mean, obviously, because nobody's gonna visit him. I mean, if you're looking at Texas and you look at the Southwest, like underwear, like
where there's
cuts
no
over,
cities or towns,
just like go into like find the place in the middle, like the Southwest part that is the farthest away from anything, and that's where he's gonna be. Mm. So I said, well, just, you know, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And then, oh, guess what?
I'm predicting Jamie's going to be calling in sick next week because she won't be able to handle being on the show.
It's going to be fine. He's going to be here for a couple more days after. Oh, okay. So I'll be fine. Okay. I'll be fine. All it's right. going to be fine.
All right. Meltdown. Well, I'll be away when Meltdown happens. Fine. That's perfect.
Awesome. Cool.
All right, wormflooring.com now does your trailer roof. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop leaks before they start. Second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. We all know what last summer was like. This summer's probably going to be worse, so this is probably a good idea. Ditch the duct tape and the buckets. Invest in long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish, and it's only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and people. Okay. Head over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. And now coming up, one of our terrific auditors, who was at the Derby? That's Karen, and she's going to join us right now.
Well, our first guest, I mean, I'm not jealous at all. Like, it's fine. I mean, it's totally fine. This is totally normal that we get to talk to somebody who was in the freaking winner's circle of the Kentucky Derby. Please welcome to the show, Karen. Hey, girl, how are you?
Hey, how are you? My voice hasn't really quite come back yet.
Totally fine. I'm not jealous at all. So talk to us a little bit about your weekend. Nothing normal happened, right?
Super. Oh, nothing at all. It was just absolutely incredible. Like, to start, we had the Good Cheer who won the Oaks.
Hold on. Let me stop you. Let me stop you because tell everybody kind of like where you work and what your story is with your job.
So I work at Godolphin. I work out here at one of our broodmare farms here in Paris, Kentucky, Stonerside Farm. And I've been with the company for about 5 years. I started off working with the mares and foals, and my current role is the farm administrator. So I keep track of all of our record keeping for our horses and book the mares to the breeding shed and do a little bit of HR stuff as well.
Right. Fantastic. So you are in the thick of it. And then talk to us a little bit about what your, because I know that they do a lot of mare and foals, but they also at Godolphin have some racehorses, and your racehorses were in the forefront this weekend.
Right. So we have several farms here. Our main farm where we have our stallions is at Jonabell. And then we have several horses that are racing. You know, we obviously had the two in the Derby. We had East Avenue and Sovereignty. And then obviously Sovereignty won the Derby, which was just incredible. And we're very fortunate that when our company has horses in these big races, that they really like to include all of our staff, if possible. So you kind of just like put your name in and hope that they have a spot for you. So I put my name in that I wanted to go to the Derby. A couple of years ago, I went to the Oaks, when Pretty Mischievous won, which was incredible too. So we've just been super blessed that we've got a great team of people and that we have these opportunities to go to these big races that you would never get to experience as like an owner type situation. So it's amazing.
Yeah, and you guys have some amazing stallions standing. Can you give us give Glenn a little bit of the rundown? It won't be justified coming from me.
So we have one of our most famous ones is Cody's Wish.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, Bill Mott and Junior Alvarado were the team that had Cody's Wish when he was racing. And Bill Mott and Junior Alvarado were, you know, the Sovereignty team as far as trainer jockey goes. So that was pretty special. And it was actually Cody's Wish's birthday on Derby Day. So it was just so incredibly special. Like, we just felt like we had that little extra luck behind us.
Well, you're a listener, so you know we had the sculptor on who's doing the sculpture.
Jocelyn. Yeah, she's been going over there quite a bit to, you know, see Cody and, you know, take all of the measurements. And it's just incredible. So that was another really incredible story and experience we all got to be a part of. We also have NyQuest is one of our big stallions right now. He's probably one of our top stallions that we have. We've got Speaker's Corner.
Medaglia,
yeah. Frosted. Frosted was actually born here at Stoner Side. We've got
Hard Spun.
Yeah. We've got a lot of really cool stallions. Maxfield, who's one of my personal favorites, personality wise, he's just such a ham. Like, he's just this massive horse. And then you go and visit with him, and he's just like, you wouldn't know he's a stallion. He's just so incredible. We've just got a lot of really incredible horses.
And Bill Mott has never, I mean, he's won the Kentucky Derby, but it was not the experience that he wanted because he had Country House, who was put in after the disqualification. And so he never experienced the actual kind of, like, I was reading some interviews about how, like, when Country House was named the winner, like, they got booed and all this. So you're walking over to... So basically you're at the Kentucky Derby, with your team, which is with Sovereignty, and
on the most beautiful day Kentucky's ever had.
Oh, sure. It's a typical Kentucky day in the spring, to be fair.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about what your experience was since you got selected to kind of be a part of the day.
Yeah. So not everybody was able, like, we only had so many walkover passes. So I lucked out and got a walkover pass. So a bunch of us, we kind of all walk up the track to, like, where the horses come on from the backside. And I mean, there's just so many people. Like, I didn't even see where Bill Mott was, to be completely honest. We're all just, you know, you kind of wait by your number. And, like, once the horses start coming out, you all, like, kind of group together and walk over and then all walk through the tunnel into the paddock. And then
surreal in itself, that whole thing.
It was. I was, like, screaming and high-fiving people. Like, it was awesome. You know, it was just so cool, even though it was raining.
I was
like,
gonna say, did you bring your mud boots?
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to match.
I'm like, y'all are crazy.
I saw people walking over, like, ladies walking over with garbage bags on their feet. I was like, come on.
Well, everybody had shower caps on their head to protect their hats too.
So you're the screaming girl who's, like, walking over, you're like, this horse.
Yeah.
And were they like, oh God, next year we're not letting her in?
Probably. Surprised they still.
Good. That's perfect for one of our listeners, actually. We like that. Well, way to represent.
I mean, they all know who I am by this point. They're probably happy I lost my voice. They're like, good, she shut up for a few days.
So you get to go over to the paddock, you watch them get saddled, you watch the jocks get tossed up on the horses, and then like out to the track they go. And then where do you go?
But then we had like a owner's box right there on the track, kind of near the winner's circle. So we went back to our box and watched from there. And then once, you know, we're watching the race, which was just wild. Like, I thought East Avenue was going to get it before Sovereignty because he was way behind. And all of a sudden we're all freaking out. Like, we see that he's got a shot to win it. He comes flying by us and we're just like, everyone just lit up, like screaming. And then they kind of ushered us over to the winner's circle after that.
Now, Karen, what I kept hearing about was when the horses come around to the final stretch, jockeys talk about the wall of noise that happens as the horses come around that final turn. What was it like being in that wall of noise? Is it as amazing as it sounds from the other side?
I mean, you can just hear everybody screaming, like the whole crowd's just going nuts. Like it's incredible the energy that's like there before the Derby and like while the horses are running. Like it was just unbelievable, like wild.
Wow. And so the horse comes across the finish line, and I mean, who do you hug first? What do you do?
I don't know. We all kind of, like, I tried to record on my phone and you can kind of see him like recording the screen. And then all of a sudden, like we're winning and my phone starts shaking around and we're all screaming.
Did they think Sovereignty would? Everybody hopes their horse is going to win, right? When you go, but
right.
Was everybody really thinking Sovereignty was going to win?
I mean, honestly, I think we're all just really humble. Like, we were just grateful to be at that spot. Like, I don't know that we really, you just want the horses to have a safe trip, you know, and the Derby is just so hard. There's so many good horses. Like, you never know who's going to win. Like, so
did you when bet we actually on did one, we're, did you bet on?
Yes, I bet on Sovereignty in East Avenue.
Oh, well, you won a few because the winning bet was $17. So you did all right.
Yeah, I didn't even cash the ticket. I'm going to have to go back to Churchill.
Yeah, you better get back there in a minute because that was a good one. Hey, take a picture of it and then cash it. Okay,
exactly.
That's funny.
That's cool. So what is the mood? So here's what's cool is, I mean, obviously he's a stud colt and he's probably going to continue on to run, but there's probably no question of where he's going to retire to stud. Cause I mean, that is like the guaranteed ticket to stand at Godolphin.
Yes. Yes. He will. I'm assuming he will come back and be one of our stallion band at some point. I mean, they'll obviously keep racing him as long as he's doing well. And he'll let us know when he's ready to come back and, you know, stand at stud.
It's like, I just want to like talk to each one of them and be like, listen, if you make this happen the rest of your life, don't worry about a thing. You're
all the girls you want, all the food you want.
Yeah. Like, I mean, these horses are living the dream. Like,
food and women. What more does the stud want?
Food and women. I mean, it's the story of Glenn's life, right? Yeah, yeah, we're there. Yeah. Come on, baby. Right. No, that's so fantastic. I'm so excited for y'all. And Sovereignty was certainly not one of our picks. And I'm kind of upset that you didn't give me a heads up. Like, well, what? I mean, let's go. Come on. Where were you?
I don't know. Just like, don't want to jinx anything. You know how racehorse people are. We're all superstitious.
Well, yeah, I mean, what an amazing experience. Congratulations on the win and congratulations on everything.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's we're all just still pinching ourselves and like still so distracted that we actually did it.
Cosequin, the number one veterinarian recommended joint health supplement brand, is excited to announce the launch of its newest supplement, Cosequin ASU Balance. This advanced formula supports joint, immune, and digestive health. Cosequin ASU Balance helps moderate the inflammatory responses that can cause immune and GI tract disturbances through the innovative inclusion of postbiotics and beta-glucans. The formula also includes the comprehensive joint supplement Cosequin is known for, with ingredients such as ASU, hyaluronic acid, and Boswellia serrata extract. With over 30 years behind the Cosequin name, you can rely on Cosequin products when performance matters. To learn more, speak with your veterinarian or visit Cosequin.com.
So, Jamie, today we have a bunch of listeners on the show who do really cool things. And our second listener joining us today is Kathy Simmers, and she writes a book series. She's an author and writes a book series that we want to talk about today for kids. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Glenn. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you and I met last year at AHP, I believe, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and I think I promised to have you on, and then now we're a year later and you're here. So
it's okay.
So apologize for that. So tell us about this series of books called Ponytails.
So we know that kids and ponies go together like peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yeah.
And so these are all true stories about ponies that I've met along the way.
Wait. This is true? Pickles for Christmas is true?
Oh my God.
Like, I'm reading about Pickles for Christmas and I'm like getting emotional. Are you serious? Oh my God. We have to talk after. I gotta find out what happened. Sorry. Carry on.
Yes. Well, all of them. So the first one was, my first one was Jump the Moon. And that was about my daughter and her pony. And she rode this pony named Me Too when she was 15. And they bonded and the pony got sold out from under her and it broke her heart. 7 years later, after she went to college, got married, stopped riding, and horses were no longer a part of her life, the pony came to her in her dreams. And every night she had a new dream about the pony, and it went on for weeks. And so finally she said, I don't know what to do about these dreams. I think I have to find my pony. And of course, I was her mom. I was like, how do you think you're going to do that? This was like 20 years ago. We didn't have an internet. People weren't finding horses. Like, how did you do that? How would you do that? And she tracked her down and she brought her home.
Oh.
And I said, and the pony was in a bad situation when she found the pony. And I said, that pony called you like she picked up the phone, come and get me. And, and I had no intention to write a book, but I told the story a million times. And of course, after a while, the pony ended up in my backyard and I was actually doing the stall, looking at the pony thinking, I can't believe this pony is here. And the story just came to me and I put down the pitchfork and I went inside and I wrote the story. And that was how I ended up becoming a children's author.
And, which you had no plans to do, apparently.
I had no plans. I had no plan. And it really, it took a long time to get it published because I at that time when I wrote it, it was 20 years ago and there was no way to do that. I got rejected by publishers for years because, believe it or not, publishers don't think that pony stories will sell. I have a hard time understanding that when we know how many kids love ponies out there, right?
So just so you know, the bookshelf to my left, top to bottom, is filled with books about horses and humans. Like, that's all I buy. Yeah,
so, exactly. So anyway, so I ended up self-publishing that one. And I didn't really know if there would be another book. But I really love the kids and I love writing for kids. And it's just so rewarding when I meet them at horse shows and stuff. And then the second book was Posey, and she's about it. That one's about a show pony that I met. And I saw these girls with this pony and they had just gotten her. I thought, wow, that girl is almost too big for that pony already. How many kids has this pony been through? And the story came to me and it was really kind of funny because the Posey story after the book was out, I was texting with the mom who was in Wellington and she said, I keep meeting these people who knew Posey or who owned Posey. And I felt like Posey had told me her story.
Oh, that's cool. And then Pickles. What about Pickles?
You know, Pickles is about Matthew and he was this boy that rode with my granddaughter and he was the most helpful kid at the barn. He was like 10 years old and he would say that you just had a great lesson or do you need a hoof picker? Can I get your brush or what do you like? He was just the helpful kid at the barn and he was a lesson kid and he knew his parents were never going to buy him a pony, but he fell in love with this pony Pickles. And when he found out Pickles was for sale, he was so sad. And I can remember the back conversations with his mom about, we're not really horse people. Can we really buy a pony? And they ended up at Christmas giving him a jar of pickles on Christmas morning.
Oh my God, what?
So I actually, I saw, he's in college now, and I saw him at Christmas time, and the book had just come out. And so I read the book to the kids at the Christmas party, and he was a mess.
He was crying.
And it was so, he's still such a sweet guy. And yeah, if there was ever a kid that deserved a pony, Matthew deserved a pony.
That is like, I was so, once I read the whole thing, I'm like, oh my God, there's a kid that wants a pony, and the pony's going to be sold. What's going to do? Like the whole thing. So do you have to change the names to protect the innocent?
No, people love having me write stories about them.
Wow.
Probably a million more, just with the, you know, thousands of people listening now, there's probably a million more stories like that, right?
Exactly.
They're out there. Yeah.
The funny part is in Jump the Moon, it's my daughter's pony, but we didn't give the girl a name. The girl is the girl with the long blonde hair, and throughout the book. And because of two things, it's like, did the pony really know the girl's name, or the pony just knew that this girl with long blonde hair was the one that loved her? Yeah. And that was the one thing. And the other thing was that my daughter was really clear that she wants little girls everywhere to be able to identify with this girl. And if we give the girl a name, then she's just another girl. Like, everybody has to be able to identify.
That was intuitive on her part, actually. Yeah.
Well, the next one, could you please do the girl with the long brown hair? Because, I'm feeling a little left out.
Hey, pickles for Christmas. Just won an award?
It's a finalist for the Independent Book Publishers Award.
Yay! Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. That's why I'm not going to see you next week at AHP, right?
I know. I'm sad about that, too. I met so many great people at AHP last year. So I'm sad that I'm not going this year, but, you know.
Well, you're going to pick up an award. I'm confident you're going to win. So that's not going to be a problem. You're going to pick up an award, and that's more important at this point.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. And, it's cool because it's being recognized by like non-horse people. You know, a lot of people think that people think that only horse kids are going to like horse books. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, kids like books about frogs and turtles
and
unicorns. Like, I think that they would like books about ponies, too, which they do. And, you know, it's funny because the books are all really, they go right to the heart. And, you know, I love the horses so much. I want people to love them as much as I do. And I had this one guy stop by my table at Firefest, and he's a big burly guy. And he goes, she wants me to read it to her every night. And every night I'm bawling like a baby. It was so sweet.
Well, we got to give love to, the illustrations in the books are fantastic. So who does the illustrations?
That's Marjorie Van Heerden. She's in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And she has actually done 160 children's books. She's world renowned. And I'm very fortunate because she's friends with my editor. And that's how I ended up getting her to do the books. But she was a horse kid when she was a kid. So she really likes doing the horse books.
Wow. That's why they're so good then. That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they're so good. And she does it with a lot of love. She puts a lot of love into the books, which makes a big difference.
Now, you live on a farm. Get off of books a little. By the way, where can people go buy the books? Where's the best place?
You can buy them on my website, which is read, R-E-A-D, jumpthemoon.com. Or you can go to Amazon, or a lot of local tack shops carry the books. So ask for it at your tack shop, because there's tack shops all over the country and in Canada that have the books.
All right. And we'll put a link to that in our show notes. But before you go, I want to talk to you about your farm. You have a collection. You have like green acres of a farm going there.
I do. I have it's my childhood dream to have a farm. And I didn't get a farm until I was 50 years old. And that was kind of my daughter's fault, too, because I was like, she got her pony. Why don't I have my farm? And
what's your husband say about that?
So now, I have a little menagerie. I have a couple of minis, a Shetland pony. I just got a Hackney pony.
You did?
I did.
Is and he fat like mine?
He's 25 years old and he drives. So I have to learn how to drive because knows how to drive. And so I have a couple of rescue thoroughbreds that came from a kill pen and a paint pony that I ride. And then I have llamas and chickens and goats and alpacas. And
how fun.
You do have how green fun. Acres. And I heard the next book is not going to be about a horse.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Okay.
Yes, the next one is Knock Out the Donut Pony. He's a pony that loves donuts. I walked into the tack shop with pickles, and the manager looked at me and she said, is it going to make me cry? And I said, yeah, probably, but they're happy tears. And she said, I hate to cry. And I said, all right, the next one will have to be funny. So so it's about, and again, it's a real pony who loved donuts, and it really happened.
Is there going to be a llama book at some point?
There will be a llama book.
Okay.
There will be a llama book. I don't know. I don't know when I'll get to the llama book, but there will be a llama book.
Is there a husband, and was he okay with this farm deal?
Oh, yeah. Well, my husband, yeah, he's actually a horseman too, and he actually builds, he's a builder. He builds equestrian facilities.
Oh, wow.
Score!
Yeah. No, no, my roof leaks.
Of course it does.
The cobbler's kids have no shoes. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, yeah, but, you know, it's fun because we both are in the horse world. And, you know.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Kathy, you've been a delight. Thank you so much, one, for being a listener and for putting out these books that apparently have people crying all over the world. So, we really appreciate you joining us today. It's readjumpthemoon.com. We'll put a link to that in our show notes, and you can buy them right there. Why don't you buy them right there, and then you're buying direct from the source. Will you sign them for them?
If you, I will. Okay. I will. Especially if they put horses in the morning in the notes, I'll definitely make sure the books are signed.
Oh, yay. There you go. There's a bonus right there. Yeah. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Thank you, guys.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
That's right. It's time for those sad tales of woe that occur once a week. And we allow you and encourage you to share your equestrian first world problems with us. And we do that by putting a post on the auditor's Facebook page on Sunday asking you to share. If you have an equestrian first world problem that's weighing on your mind, you have to become an auditor to participate in this portion. So, Glenn, how do they do that?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle of the page, click on the auditor banner, and for as little as $3 a month, you can join the party. And nice thing about that is really a donation, because half of that goes out to our hosts, including Jamie. So you're really giving back directly to the hosts by doing that. And you also get to play in all the fun games.
Yeah. All the good stuff. Like Kayla, it's very sad because she says her husband, she says, my husband is building me my very own round pen, but he couldn't work on it this weekend because we had family parties all weekend and I just want to use my round pen. Get to work, husband.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? You're not allowed to go to the parties, obviously.
This is very sad. Carrie, she says, I keep forgetting to bring my cute new saddle pad to the barn from my collection. I'm stuck using the same one I've been using for weeks. When I get to the barn, how basic am I?
Okay, I got to ask you a serious question. You having had a saddle pad collection of some number when I visited you, is do you end up using the same one all the time? It's kind of like jeans. You have your favorite, you end up wearing them all the time, and you don't wear the others.
Okay, being that I have a 16-year-old girl riding on the daily with me, here's how it goes. I've grown up. I mean, I've matured. And I have like Ace's jump pad and Ace's dressage pad. And then I have the racehorse starter pad. I have a pad for every saddle for each horse. So, I mean, that's enough. But Anna has a fashion show when she rides. Like, she'll come down to the barn in like a pink shirt. I'm like, that's a cute shirt. And she'll, of course, then grab her pink saddle pad that has chickens on it. And like, it's a daily fashion show. And then it's like a window into the me I was when you first met me. Yeah, so it's all good.
Yeah. You've matured now.
I've matured. Yeah. I'm so much older. Adrian says, my horse has finally shed it out, but now my blue heelers have started. Oh my God.
Oh, they must have a lot of hair.
We have a one with heeler in her, and oh my God, like the hair, it's like a snowstorm after they walk. The next
Scooter's
one comes
finally
from
got Nick. Rid of all his winter hair. I mean, he grows hair. He could live in Minnesota in the winter. I don't know. He hasn't figured out he's in Florida yet. And he finally got rid of all of it. And it's, I felt so bad for him because he gets so hot, you know, and it's, we trace clip him And I don't know why we didn't clip him. Jennifer never lets me clip him.
That's probably good.
I'm not in charge. So I can only do a trace clip.
Megan says, my sister treated me to a pedicure, but no one's going to see how nice my toes look since I also only ever wear boots. I feel you, sister. I feel you. I get a pedicure, which I hate getting. Like, I don't like it's uncomfortable, but I love having painted toenails and then I never see them.
I was always wondering about women who get pedicures and then wear shoes all the time. It's like, I guess it's for yourself.
We have to take care of ourselves. There's enough that we have to do on the daily to just be pretty or just be normal. Susanna says, we have had no microwave for almost a month now. How awful.
I'm with you. Jamie doesn't care, but I'm with you.
Microwaves. Do you even have one right now? I do have one, but I personally don't use it. I can't even think of when the last time we used it was.
You mean Chad's not using it all the time?
No.
How do you people live without a mic? I just don't get that.
That's the weirdest thing I ever heard of. And the walls are not hot, Glenn. God made microwaves so
we could save time.
I don't know. I just feel like it's injecting cancer into my food and I don't like it. So Susanna, you're going to live longer than Glenn. By the way, everybody
that hasn't been here for 15 years, this has been a conversation for 15 years.
This is nothing new. No. Erin, hers is very simple, and this is kind of a real problem, except for it's horses, because you have horses, and it says, I have vet bills.
That was short and sweet.
Yeah, I have vet bills. Amy says, I'm working on my doctorate, so all I've had time to do is go snuggle and groom my horse, and I'm so ready for a break from school. Well, maybe I'll see you at graduation on Saturday.
See, Barrett was smart. He didn't go for his doctorate. I know,
but yeah. Amy lives down the street, so maybe she's graduating this weekend. Yeah. She lives in Oklahoma. Elizabeth says, I really want to go on the Alaska cruise. Tell everybody the HRN cruise.
Oh, yeah. HRN cruise. Go to horseradionetwork.com/cruise. We're doing Alaska in May of 2026. We have almost 50 people signed up. So if you want to join us to go up and get chilly and see all the bald eagles and the bears and stuff, sign up.
Elizabeth will not be joining you for a very sad reason. She says, I really want to go on the Alaska cruise, but I'm already doing a 10-day trip with my daughter to Thailand. Shut up, Elizabeth.
You know, I don't have a desire to go to many Asian countries, but for some reason, Bali or Thailand look really good.
Yeah. I want to ride elephants in Thailand. I mean, what's so hard about that?
I rode an elephant once.
What, at the zoo?
No, at the Kentucky Horse Park at Christmas.
That's basically the zoo. Ellen says, I went to a show and I drove my mini horse with my beautiful presentation cart and I won two classes and I got second in another. And then the weather moved in as I drove home, so I had to unload my trailer in the rain.
Oh, worse is packing it up in the rain. Oh, that's awful.
Peggy says, we sold our 475 square foot tiny house and we bought an 1100 square foot mobile home, but now it's so far to the fridge.
400 feet tiny house, pretty small.
Yeah. 1100, that's bigger than the house I've lived in first, but still, that's,
you doubled your
also
house
small.
Size. That's pretty good.
Congrats.
Yeah. Ours is only I think 1200 or 1300, but you're right, it seems like forever to get the fridge.
Patty says, and she's also the one who lives the other direction. She says, my new fancy horse trailer, which is amazing, by the way, my new fancy horse trailer needs curtains for the sleeping area. And I found the cutest horsey fabric and I found a seamstress who's going to make the curtains, but it's taking forever.
I was thinking about houses. We lived in it was over 5,000 square foot house. I don't know why we bought it. It was a farm and it had a big house. We were talking about it yesterday. Get this, Jamie. It had 7 thermostats.
No, you're not bougie enough to live in a house.
It was ridiculous. Now, it had a place for a business. We ran our business out of it, but it was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And talk about the fridge being far away. It was far away.
Oh my God. You had to like get up and walk to get to the fridge.
That's the one that had the bank vault in it. The complete big bank vault, like 12 by 12, you know? Yeah.
I want to see pictures. Allison, who also lives nearby.
We were safe in storms.
Allison says, I got the saddle that I've wanted for half the cost because it was used as a demo model. That is the best news, Allison. But then she follows it up with the saddest news is the saddle is black and she just bought all new brown tack.
You could dye it.
I don't know what to do. Yeah. So yeah, my dressage saddle is black and my Ace's bridle is brown and I don't know what to do because I can't dye it because it's also his jumps bridle and it's also the saddle jump saddle's brown. Oh my God.
You were just to Kentucky. You could have bought a black bridle.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a special bridle and it's too expensive to just buy another one. Lisa says, I have two horses. Good news. Sad news. But I only have time to ride one horse every day. So first world. Oh my God. Ariel says, I have roughly a month to have my thoroughbred ready for our first walk, trot, dressage show. But we haven't even tried to go down the center line because we still don't steer. Amanda says, and this is great. Amanda says, my husband found a horse up at the Penn State sale that he wants really, really bad, which is cool. Like you have a husband who's like buying horses at auction. Like, yes. Yes, queen. But after paying my rent, board, and car payment, I have $6 left.
Yeah, that's
and his good. Bid is more than $6.
Most of them are.
Yeah. Let's see, a couple more.
You know what? I got to tell her, though, we've all been there. We have all been there.
That's true. I mean, I've never bought a horse at an auction that I've seen, so whatever.
No, like, you've never done that.
No. Angela says, I am so excited about my first dressage show of the season, but now I have to go find all my stuff, girl.
And you got to clean it.
Yeah, but see, here's what happened. I competed a couple weeks ago for the first time in forever. And my riding pants that I ride cross country forever were dry rotted and my number penny was broken. And so like, make sure you find everything early enough to make sure if you have a wardrobe malfunction, because I did. Yeah. It's cool. There's some cannery around.
You were the split riding pants person?
No, I figured out the pants because I got in my car and when I got out of my car, there was like black, like all of the sticky butt had stuck to my seat. So I had to run back in and change. But then when I got to the show, I put on a little number penny, a little bib thing that you use for cross country. Yeah, yeah. And it was ripped and I didn't know it was ripped. So I'm galloping cross country. And basically it's like laughing. The car hood came up while I was riding. It's like I was blinded.
You know, any of us that have been to enough events over our lifetimes have seen two things. The loose horse, that's pretty much every event. And then also the cross-country rider whose pants split all the way down the butt. We've all seen it happen on cross-country at least once if you've done enough of them.
Well, I avoided the pants splitting, thank God. But yeah, the blinded vision while galloping cross-country, I was like looking for duct tape. It was awesome.
Have you ever had the loose horse?
Are you kidding? Are you joking? Like, that's like my thing.
We've never had the loose horse. We've caught the loose horse a couple times, but never had the loose horse.
My first ever loose horse was I was 16 years old. And I used to go, when I turned 16, my parents were like going through divorce and it was a whole big mess. And I still wanted to go to these little hunter shows called Rolling Hill Saddle Club. And I'd go every Saturday, once a month on Saturdays. And when I turned 16, my parents just gave me the keys to the car. They're like, go, we're tired of going to your horse shows. So I was 16 years old driving horses through downtown Atlanta up to Alpharetta, Georgia, and competing in this show series. Right. So my dad one time was like fed up with my mom just letting me take the keys. So he's going to go with me. So I go, and I'm already irritated that my dad is coming to a horse show with me because I'm fine on my own. So I get to the horse show and I had braided my horse's mane. His name is Marche. And I was braided his mane and I had to go grab something. And I was like, hey, dad, watch the horse real quick. And I stepped over to, I think, get my boot jack or something. And my dad watched the horse walk right out of the stall and just take off. They had three rings at that horse show, and like two Western and one English, and they had to shut down all rings as my thoroughbred is galloping in between. Oh, finally, God. Somebody caught him with a bag of Doritos.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, I started the loose horse thing fairly early. kind of the OG.
I don't want to be that girl.
OG loose horse right here, baby.
You said watch then, it. You didn't say catch it. You got to be specific with that.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, I'm like, you watched it. We still talk about it to this day. And he doesn't remember it. And I'm like, Dad, you're the worst horse show dad ever. Like, you literally watch the horse walk out of the stall and then pick up a canter and take off as I'm sitting my back turned. Like, great. Thank you.
God, you were driving a truck and a trailer at 16. You're 5'2". You probably looked like you were 12 getting out of that truck and trailer.
I probably look like I stole it.
In Atlanta, that's a possibility, actually.
Yeah. And that's probably why I'm okay doing all this horse. You know, that's why I married a non-horse person, because I was like, I can't have anybody around me to do this. What? I'm not used to it. You know what? There's a lot of childhood trauma that we need to just on right now. Finally, last one. Melissa says, I gave myself a paper cut opening a percent bubble pack this morning and my finger hurts. The horse needs his medicine. You will open that. I have to use scissors and I just kind of like cut along the top because those things are dangerous.
They are. I use scissors too.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this nonsense and being a part of it. And thanks for sharing your equestrian first world problems.
Well, everybody, we have a full week of shows for you planned this week. Tomorrow, we have the American Horse Council, and they're going to be talking about some of the political things going on as far as the tariffs and everything, all that stuff is concerned. So that's the one show that does talk about the politics of the horse world, because that's their life. That's what they do. And then Thursday, we have the NRHA coming up, and then Jamie and I will be here Wednesday and Friday. If you need to send some weird news in, send it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com for Wednesday. And then Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for a brand new month of really bad ads. And we'll have some new prizes for you as well. Auditors, later this evening, I'm going to be posting some very nice products to add to our product testing for the year. And we're going to be starting to get some of the auditors on who've tested products. So that's coming up. I'm going to be posting those in the auditor room. If you haven't had a chance to test any products yet, I got some good ones tonight. Also, it's National Hoagie Day. I'm sure that's sponsored by Subway. So go out and have
a
sub.
What the hell is a hoagie?
It's the New England way of saying sub. We've always my hoagie. Family was from Connecticut, and they called them hoagies. Or
no,
yeah. So
yeah, I'm from the South. We don't have hoagies there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sub. That's what it is.
I saw you type that in there. I'm like Googling what is a hoagie.
I'm sure it was sponsored by Subway to make sure that we have a National Hoagie Day.
So Subway is a hoagie?
Yeah, basically a sub's a hoagie.
That's weird.
Yeah,
they're
all pretty much the same.
It's but a that's sandwich.
Hang on, auditors. We're going to hang around for a minute or two and chat.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Happy Monday.
They are also called grinders, by the way.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
It's a sandwich.